Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier, coming to you with the Aries Equinox report, energy report. And I'm going to start by reading you a very short poem written by Dahani Oahu, and written and published in her book, Voices of Our Ancestors. It's called Magnetizing, Realizing the Vision of Peace. To understand mystery, observe mind, stilling fear, mind moves clear. Sing a song of equanimity, awake within serenity. Affirm your voice and your choice. Magnetize a potent dream, world alight, illumined peace. Well, this woman and this poem really inspired me when I was in my early 20s. I joined something called the Peacekeeper Mission and began a beautiful time of unfolding in my own spiritual life. And today, when I was getting to in myself together to share with you, this book just started, vibrating at me from my bookshelf, and I took it off and I opened to that page. And I thought it was really perfect because we have so much going on right now astrologically, but it all boils down to a few simple things, really. Which is that we are at a choice point. And the choice is a choice that we've always been being asked to make. And it's the choice between love and fear. And this requires a conscious mastery on our part and even a discipline and alchemy, because it really isn't about avoiding fear or putting your head in the sand and pretending, singing a little song and pretending that what is happening in the world is not happening. It's about opening oneself, letting the feelings move through us, being awake and aware, and then making a choice not to feed those feelings. So it's very different to feel an emotion versus to feed it. Because the energy right now is a bit like a cyclone or a tornado. And if we feed ourselves a constant diet of every single thing that's stirring fear and anger and worry and doubt, we can get lost in that tornado. We can really go down. And at the same time, when I share with you what's happening astrologically, you'll be like, how could the world look as crazy as it does when you're sharing this stuff? And I just want to remind you, we're at the end of many, many cycles and we are at the beginning of new cycles. And that point between the end and the beginning, all of the shadow material, all of the last vestiges of grasping and holding on to old forms of things like power over and one's self-worth coming from one's power over other people or material possessions or, all of the old versions of conquering and I have the most guns, so I'm going to control you and all of that. The last vestiges of that are holding on as hard as they can and have a lot of power right now in our world. But at the same time, this story and the energy that's coming in is the energy that we need to create the beauty that we are leaning into. And that requires you and I to make bold choices, to engage in our own self-care in a way that is revolutionary, because think of it this way. There is a lot of information and aspects of our shared collective reality that are frightening and disturbing right now, that are chaotic. And so in our collective field, there's all this fear and anxiety and anger and confusion. And that fear, that energy of fear is feeding that old story. It's feeding the old story. And so what we want to do is to engage our choice to observe our fear, feel it, release, and then focus on our soul quality of courage. of joy, of love, of a feeling of belonging, which nobody can take from you. So that is basically, okay, I'm done. No, we're, and so that's sort of the theme of where we're traveling together now. And it isn't, we have a lot of support for this because a lot of the energy that's coming through now, through these amazing, huge astrological activations really are the energy of love. And so as many of you know, one of my primary spiritual practices along with meditation and being in nature is shamanic journeying, the journey method. And, I also facilitate journey groups and classes. And, one of the practices that I began to do in 2015 was to journey to my descendants 7 generations from now to, form a relationship with them that has been ongoing since then. And to ask them what they need of me in this time so that they can live the best versions of their reality in their time. And in 2015, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing because I have so much to share with you, but one of the things that they asked of me, and they were asking of like all beings in some ways, was that we learn how to process trauma quickly so that we are no longer at the effect of it. And that we develop methods that you can really shift because they're going to need that because there's so many big changes and they're going to need to be connected to their hearts and to one another and to their communities and not lost in fight, flight, or freeze, we can say. And since 2015, well, even before 2015, but you could say that in the last 10 years, there's really been an explosion of into all forms of helping professions. And I can tell you that as a coach and as an acupuncturist and having many clients who are therapists, that trauma work, somatic trauma work has really come into every healing modality. And, so I'm really happy to say that the other night I facilitated a group of people and, the topic of the journey was to journey in 7 generations in, form a relationship with our descendants. And many people in the group had not done this before. A few had. And, what we found was that our descendants had been through a lot, or meant the generations between now and 7 generations from now, there had been massive changes because we are at the turning of an age. And that is really about letting go of, all of our structures based on materialism and that we move more into an age of light, an age of sound, an age of communicating telepathically, healing with light, everything becoming much more subtle and light-filled. And we, you and I are at that turning where there's that holding on and yet that light is coming in. And so we are transmuting and we are transforming. But it's very easy for the mind to be like, hey, things in the physical reality change much more slowly than in the energetic reality. So anyway, what we mostly found, and everyone really saw this, was that these descendants really had, their cultures had mastered transforming trauma, and that they were living a very, very simple lives, connected to nature, having a very strong sense of belonging and community, community healing, telepathic communication, a beautiful relationship with nature, a lot of courage. And it was a place that you were like, I wouldn't mind living there. I understand. I can see that a lot of things have happened that were probably very difficult to endure, between where we are and where they are, but they are doing great. And, it's important to remember that, and important that part of our, so what I got from this is that between 2015 and now, enough people have really engaged the process of healing deep trauma, although we're still, you know, our whole lives we're going to be doing this, that it had a huge effect on future generations. And that's the point I want to make. So here we are, and I have my Aries equinox sharing for you. And what that means is that the sun is moving into 0 degrees Aries. And this morning, my husband woke up, and he was watching the sunrise. And yesterday, I was watching the sunrise from the same point. So in our kitchen, you can see all the way to the front of the house where there's this huge picture window. And in the center of that window at Aries equinox, the sun rises exactly in the center of that window. And when it sets exactly in the center of the window seat in my kitchen in that window. And Jim was saying, oh, we have our own little Stonehenge in our house. And it's very mesmerizing to watch the sun rise and set at the solstices and the equinoxes. And the ancient peoples knew this. And that is why there are so many temples and pyramids and stone circles and even petroglyphs that are aligned to different astrological cycles, but particularly the solstice and the equinoxes. And that's because these temples and stone circles were capturing the energy. Stone embraces, it physicalizes, it holds the energy. And when the sun comes through, you know, a stone, you know, sits on the top of a stone or goes through a stone, or, you know, at noon, the equinox sun or sunrise or sunset is going at the top of the pyramid or down the steps or up the steps of Chichen Itza, it is creating a very precise physicalization of the doorway that is the sun, which is the transmitter of frequency and of life force. And at the equinoxes, it's very powerful that the sun is tracking exactly along the lines of the equator. And it's activating the magnetic field of the earth and opening up doorways to receive transmissions and new information. And at the Aries equinox, the sun is moving into 0 degrees Aries, which opens up a whole new timeline. 0 degrees Aries is an initiation point. It is the beginning of a new astrological year. And what we have going on right now is Venus is crossing 0 degrees Aries, going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth from Pisces to Aries 3 times in her retrograde loop. Mercury is in retrograde and also is going from Pisces to Aries and back again and over again and back again and over again 3 times. The sun is obviously crossing into 0 degrees Aries. Neptune on the 30th of March will cross over 0 degrees Aries. And later this year in May, Saturn will also cross. And Neptune is crossing 3 times. Saturn is crossing 3 times. So what we've got going on is all these planets, Venus, the sun, Mercury, Saturn, and Neptune, and crossing the end of Pisces, the end of the astrological year, the end of the zodiac into the new. And so you will hear over and over again from any astrologer that this is about endings and this is about beginnings. And it's big endings and big beginnings. And so at equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west, and it tracks along the equator for about 3 weeks before and after the equinox. And there's a lot more cosmic and solar light coming in. Even the aurora borealis is very active at the equinox. And this does offer us access into other realms and insights and connection to our heart. And like I said, the ancients built temples to capture this energy and to bring it down to earth because they understood that these are gateways, these are portals. And tuning into the sun as a doorway at the equinox, whether it's when you're on a walk in the middle of the day or whether you're watching the sunrise or the sunset or whenever else, it really does connect into the heart of the earth and into your heart as well. So we've got Venus in retrograde and Mercury in retrograde at the time of the equinox. And this is a time for us to really go inside and think about Venus relates to our relationships, our connection to the feminine, how we value each other and how we value ourselves. And so it's really about, and Venus, when she's in this retrograde loop, is also within 10 degrees of the sun. And, she's really close to the sun at the equinox. You know, the equinox is 0 degrees Aries and the Venus is 4 degrees Aries. It's really close. So what's happening is that the feminine energy within us and in all life is being, it's going through a death and a rebirth process and receiving a very profound transmission from the sun, new life. And then she goes, she reemerges as a morning star on March 31st and begins a whole new cycle, a whole new 580-day cycle. And so when she's with the sun, it is a time that we're sort of in this, and Mercury too is, with the sun. Mercury, how we communicate, how we think about things, also going through, a review process, but also a profound letting go, but also a transmission of new light. And so we find ourselves sort of at a still point in some ways of not knowing, you know, these planets are in the underworld. We can't see them. They're going to rise again and start Venus. We cannot see her. She's no longer in the morning sky and she's no longer an evening star. She's in that deep womb space and she will be coming back up and, transmitting. So a lot of people are feeling right now, a sense of wanting to understand, wanting to have a very clear picture, a more clear picture, but there's a lot of confusion and that invitation to be present with the not knowing, which is where, we are being invited into a deep place of pause, introspection, not knowing, not being able to predict what will happen day to day, year to year, and a surrendering into trust that we are in the process of evolving and growing, even though things in our external world are at a very maximum point of chaos, but that is also part of the process. So let's see, what else do I want to say? We also had an eclipse in Virgo on the 14th of the month of March. And we are going to, that was a total lunar eclipse, which is about letting go. And we are having another eclipse on the 29th. So you can see, you know, we've got these eclipses, March 14th, March 29th, and we've got the equinox, this very powerful portal where the, we're receiving these transmissions. The energy is heightened. We're stepping into something new. We've got all these planets going over back and forth into the old story, the new story, the old story. We've got Venus in the underworld ready to rebirth with enthusiasm, for a whole new cycle. And we've got these eclipses, which is just in amplifying. And we always say that the time between eclipses is the cauldron of transformation. And it's a time when we really are, seeding. It's a seed point for the year, eclipses, for 6 months, really, where we're setting intentions. We're seeing what has been not digested within ourselves, what needs to be taken out of the shadows and observed with the light of our consciousness. And then whatever isn't working to release and then to receive the transmission of the eclipses, which is very nonverbal, and to set intentions. So with the Virgo and, eclipse on the 14th, it really was, about letting go of some old ways that we may be focused, overly focused on details and lose sight of the big picture. Was ways that we overthink things. And in this energy that we're in, overthinking anything will quickly lead to overwhelm and confusion. And so this eclipse is bringing that into our awareness, any ways that we micromanage. It's also inviting us into simplifying and seeing the joy in simplicity of connecting more deeply to the seasons of the earth and her cycles, of reconnecting to the sacred. This is all Virgo, moving forward with surrender, with trust and faith, at creating small acts of kindness, in our everyday life. I said to one of my friends the other day, how are you doing? She's like, well, globally, not so good, but locally, awesome. You know, in Virgo is a very down to earth, physical. How are we doing in our communities, in our neighborhoods? How are we coming together and assisting each other in everyday acts of kindness? And focusing on that. This eclipse is asking what needs to be seen, healed, digested, and assimilated. It is a profound letting go into the new and into the unknown. And Virgo is associated with Spider Woman. Spider Woman can really co-create with Great Spirit, with all of the aliveness. And she's really clear about weaving her web brightly. And so it is a time to set really clear intentions on simplifying our lives, in dedicating ourselves to acts of kindness and service in ways that are tangible, and reconnecting with the natural world. So that's my take on it. But the invitation for you, and really it's such a heightened time that every single one of us on some level is being made aware, what is it that I need to let go of, that I need to release? A habitual way of thinking about things, a habitual way of communicating, Mercury retrograde, a habitual way of being in relationship to myself, to the natural world around me, to my friends and my beloveds, my family members. How am I getting tripped up in old patterns that really I've outgrown? And what I'm noticing in my clients and in myself is that it's very easy. It's easier right now to step out of these old patterns because they're almost like these crusty, caked on, like we can grab for them and do them again, but it doesn't even feel right. It doesn't even feel authentic or real because we are stepping into a new time where we have already done a huge, tremendous amount of healing. And now it's time to just acknowledge this and look into what's in front of us and own who we are now and to activate new patterns and new habits. And that requires a certain kind of mastery and a certain amount of choice and even discipline of noticing like, oh, that way that I just communicated, I know that doesn't work. So let me just take a moment and breathe and kind of see and, maybe apologize, you know, maybe offer some more empathy to that other person because most people are quite highly stressed right now. And so sometimes things come out sideways. And so we need to offer one another more compassion and acknowledgement of who they really are and support each other in coming into a higher octave of our relationships with each other. But anyway, the point is that you know what it is. And you are also very supported in change right now by the unseen, by your guide teams, by your higher self, by all of those that are partnered with you to support you in this world, but need your attention. In other words, if you ask for help and guidance, you'll receive it, but we need to ask and then we need to slow down enough to receive it and digest it. So. Then we have, on the 29th, an eclipse in Aries. And this is the last eclipse from a cycle of eclipses that were in Aries. And Aries has to do with let's go, let's get it done, let's take action. Aries likes to lead the way into new territory. It is an empowered archetype, enthusiastic and pioneering. Aries is fast-paced, fast growing, and is associated with the springtime. And it is associated with that energy of a spring bud that's just opening and the rush of energy and the rush of fragrance and deliciousness and enthusiasm that that flower bud has. Well, that is an invitation. There's something budding and opening in you. And it's important, as I spoke about in the beginning, there's a lot of fear in the collective. And if we're mostly paying attention to that, then we're not paying attention to what is flowering and blossoming inside of each of us. What new life is is opening up? What deeper connection to spirit, deeper connection to the natural world, and a deeper connection to a faith and a trusting the process, even as we walk through a very challenging, dark time where there's a lot of unknown. So Aries also has a lot of courage and a lot of sovereignty. So here we are in this time where we're moving a lot of planets between 29 degrees Pisces and 0 degrees Aries, which is a place of voidness. It is a place of transition, of not knowing, of the end of many, many cycles and the beginning of new ones. And we are experiencing the dismantling and the dissolving of aspects of ourselves, and also a very, kind of a wacky, unconscious dismantling of structures in our world that is not being done with empathy or compassion or kindness. But we do need to ask, what is this new cycle about? Now, on the 29th, the 30th, Neptune, right the day after the eclipse, is going to move into Aries. And Neptune has not been in Aries in 165 years. So this is a big deal. And Neptune, over the next few years, is going to journey together, travel together with Saturn in Aries, which is an even bigger deal. Because Saturn is grounding and physicalizing Neptune's energy, bringing it into the world. And Neptune is all about creativity, inspiration, our dreams and our visions, bringing more reality to the mystical, the transcendent, the invisible, the celestial light-filled realms. And so it's very important that we are aware of this, that we are the standing stones, right? We talked about the standing stones physicalizing the equinoxes and the solstices. And if you go to Machu Picchu, there is this whole garden of rocks, and each of them is pointing in different directions and at different times when that was active as a place where the priests and the priestesses gathered. When there were major astrological cycles, they would point the stones, and the stones would bring the energy of that alignment into the earth. You and I are the stones. And if we are feeding our fear, it's very hard for us to feed the energy of expansion, that golden gate, that golden light that's coming in. So let's just see, in terms of Aries, a bit more about Aries is all about fresh starts. Aries is about the fire of inspiration, and it ignites something new. This year, with all these planets going over the 0 degrees Aries point, which is on the galactic cross, it is a place. The galactic cross is 0 degrees Aries, 0 degrees Libra, 0 degrees Cancer and Capricorn. Whenever there are planets there, it profoundly affects our world on the world stage. So the fact that Venus and Mercury and the Sun and Neptune and Saturn are going back and forth over these points, three times, massaging it. It's really massaging the fire of inspiration and ignition, and inviting us and opening up a portal of energy for us to catch a wave of new energy, to assist us in being engaged and committed, to become those sacred warriors, warriors for love, standing up for love, standing up for justice and truth and compassion. And we cannot do that when we are fighting an old energy, because as soon as we fight with an old energy, we become that old energy. We manifest that old energy. We all know that quote from Einstein, who said we cannot transform anything from the working with the old energy. If we want to transform something, we have to step into the new energy and see it from that perspective and embody that. Then we get a whole new set of how can we act? How can we move in aligned, coherent action to respond to the suffering of the world? And if we are unconsciously reacting from fear and anger, we are literally aligning with that old energy. And so it's tricky. It's a point of mastery. And you, my friends, have been training for this your whole life and many, many, many lives and even in between lives. And you have so much help. And here I am telling you, here we are. We are at that time where there are waves of golden liquid light being poured in from the center of our galaxy. And with Neptune moving into Aries, Neptune is that love, that unconditional love that seeds the universe. In Aries, this fast moving ignition point, this catching a wave of energy, this engagement. It is about taking this concentrated universal love and bringing it into action quickly in our world, bringing our visions and our dreams and our intuition and our inner guidance into form while we are dissolving, old forms within us, while we are experiencing an external reality of confusion, disorientation, instability, cruelty. So we're at this birth point with Neptune moving into 0 degrees Aries and so many planets moving into 0 degrees Aries at the equinox, which is 0 degrees Aries with this eclipse in Aries. So this is about cosmic consciousness coming into an individual form, into you and me, into you and I as the standing stones. But we're also being aware of ourselves like an individual drop in the ocean, receiving an infusion of cosmic consciousness, becoming aware of our unique essence and light, and aware that we are part of a belonging to something much larger. Neptune in Aries is the highest expression of this, is inspired action on our visions and dreams, acting from love and compassion, taking decisive, committed action. It's when the dreamer becomes the activist. It's when the visionary becomes the doer. It is a new cycle. It is a graduation point. It is about all of us stepping into a new curriculum and taking more responsibility for what we are contributing to the collective. We are releasing what is complete, and we are beginning an entirely new era. And March is the whole month of March is building into a culmination, especially now at the equinox, moving to the second eclipse, the 29th of the month, Neptune moving into Aries, the 30th of the month, and then Venus rising as a morning star and beginning a new overstory on the 31st. These are the archetypes of spiritual awakening. It is about embodying and creating new structures in our daily lives, being weavers of light, just like Spider Woman, and tuning into this much larger context of the Great Turning. We are turning from fear to faith and fear to love, but it isn't happening by itself. It's not like Neptune is bopping us over the head and we wake up and we're in a state of bliss and we understand all. It's not like that. Although maybe for some it is. It's about choosing to notice the flower. It's in every little moment. It's in watching the sun, feeling the sun on our skin. It's about looking at the flower opening. It's about staring at the blade of grass, the blue sky. It's about looking at a beloved and seeing their tender heart and their beauty. It is about I'm staring at pansies and I can't help but looking at a pansy and feeling a bit giddy because they're so adorable and cute, and tuning into the energy of the flowers and those small, sweet moments that can awaken us to love, to joy. We must remember, like I said in the beginning, that joy is not a response to external circumstances. It is about connecting to a soul quality that we carry in our hearts and is readily available. And at the very end of all my talking, I'll do a very brief exercise with you about this. But let's just move on. Again, Neptune in Aries is about your individual will aligning with the divine will because you choose it, because you choose surrender. It is about becoming visionary. It is about bringing spirit much more into form, especially as Neptune over the summer and in 2026 travels together with Saturn, bringing this into form. It is about the dreamer becoming the activist, the visionary becoming the doer, compassionate action and connection to all. Aries moves us in a focused forward direction quickly. It is a birth point. It is about our spirits much more deeply inhabiting our bodies, detoxifying our bodies, detoxifying our waterways on the planet. We can expect that to happen in the next 14 years. Perhaps some breakthroughs around technology will help us to detoxify our bodies and the waters of our planet. It is about emotional connection and a sense of belonging. So Neptune is in Aries, again, moves into Aries this month for the first time in 165 years. And it stays in Aries until 2039, although it briefly moves retrograde this autumn, and then it goes back again next winter. So Neptune is about, in Aries, is about taking action aligned with soul. It is about fierce compassion, standing up for love and tenderness and empathy. It is about our interconnectedness, our transcendence. It is about love and creativity in action, taking our visions and our dreams and putting them forth and mixing them into the cauldron with this powerful, fiery inspiration of Aries that can really ignite our visions and dreams. It is about connecting to inner guidance, having a much stronger sense of yes and no, grace. It is about, Neptune is connected to our higher selves. It is connected to our dissolving, our ego selves, and the self that was created, conditionally created, and that is dissolving, so a much larger self can emerge that will help guide us into this next period of time over the next 14, 20 years. Again, the energy that we've been running cannot take us where we need to go. So each one of us is going through a letting go and a dissolving and a not knowing and a confusion and a stepping into the new and trusting that guidance and intuition and allowing the transmission to take place. One thing you can do is every time you go to the bathroom, connect to a memory of joy. Or connect to an image of joy, like a flower. Bring it into your heart and let it expand. And you can ask your guides and teachers to assist you in expanding that joy. We are literally shifting your neural pathways and your energetic patterns. And it does require your attention. And every one of us knows many different ways to do this. So seeing through the illusion of power over, the illusion of consumption and that would bring any type of happiness, seeing through the illusion of our unworthiness, the illusion of outsourcing our divinity and coming into the truth of who we are, fierce grace. And it's about becoming irresistible attractor fields, to be able to become an attractor field to create beauty, an attractor field for fields of love, connection and belonging, and for honoring, and to dissolve the barriers between people that make us think that we're so different when we're not. Resistance isn't about fighting against something. It is about becoming irresistible and becoming that attractor field for honoring and creating transformational cultures and regenerative cultures. Even and Aries says, hey, let's do it. I'll bring my enthusiasm. Saturn moving into Aries in May, I'll bring the dedication, the commitment, and the mastery. And Neptune says, I'll bring love. I'll bring those soul qualities of joy, of connection, of belonging, of connection to your higher self, and I'll bring the magic. And you put all that together and you have, particularly, I mean, 2025, there's a lot more change and upheaval. 2026, we really have this Saturn and Neptune traveling together to really be like that standing stone that really absorbs and begins to move a lot of these dreams and visions forward into the world in a very real way. Now, Neptune, I've just shared with you the positive qualities of Neptune. Why do I do that? I do that because this is medicine for you. This is for you to intend to align with this. every archetype and every planet has a higher octave and a lower octave. So your job is to fully intend to connect with the higher octave of Neptune and find ways to do it, bringing your conscious awareness and your power of choice. But you're going to see around you others connecting to the not so great, which is delusion, illusion, lying, not honoring boundaries. Someone perhaps saying, when in 165 years ago, when Neptune was in, Aries, we had the Civil War in our country. And in some ways we still do. Only, but it's a war of information. So that, a war of boundaries. We had in 165 years ago, we had amazing things happening, like the Alice in Wonderland was written. That was very Neptunian. We had, Monet painting the beginning, the Impressionist movement. We had the Theosophical Society coming online in many forms of spiritualism, but we also had the Civil War. And we also had Italy and Germany uniting as countries, but through war. And so I don't want to really dwell on that, but I do want to say that you are going to see all of it. But we want to intend fully to align with that, bringing that great love and that great wisdom and, into the world, taking our actions aligned with soul qualities of creativity, innovation. We may see bold shifts in power and leadership over the next 14 years that are more aligned with compassion. If we stand up and engage the world with, the vision for regeneration. Okay. So I think that's enough words. And what I'd like to do now is to just take a moment for you to just poof, let that go and take a moment to breathe in all that information. Just let it settle and notice the skin on your face and against your arms and legs, and notice your foot and your feet maybe connecting to the floor and feeling how the earth supports you. Take a moment to just relax. Breathe in a few times and exhale all of the mental concentration and just breathe in the beauty and the magic of the equinox sun, the golden sun. Imagine the sun is coming in through the top of your head, this golden liquid light. And exhaling through your whole body and letting that light connect through the bottoms of your feet into the earth. Let's do that again, breathing this golden orb of light, sitting right at that point of new beginnings. And breathing it into your heart and exhaling that golden light through your body and all around you. So you're in a cocoon of golden light. And I'd like you to just see your heart as a star or a sun. Just like the sun, your heart is radiating like a star emanating its light through your body. And I'd like you to take a moment to bring up a memory where you experienced real joy. And bring that memory right into your heart. And expand that feeling through your body. And I'd like you to make a connection to your higher self and your guide teams who come from love, compassion, and service to all. Ask your guide teams, master teachers,
to expand this state of joy through your whole body and through your field. Notice how this might change any physical sensations in your body. Take a few moments to sustain this and expand this. When you access the soul quality of joy, it helps you thrive in any time, no matter how challenging. When we access the simplicity of joy, it can become a medicine and a balm for ourselves and a way for us to contribute this quality to the collective field. And from this place, I'd like you to set a few intentions for this equinox time. This time, this beautiful seed point. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings be healthy and healing. May all beings be able to access joy, a sense of belonging, peace, and courage, and to step into a larger aspect of our purpose and an understanding of our choice to be here now, fully present. Aho.